Good morning. We are one of 10 parishes in the United States that's able today to lay aside the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time and celebrate on this Sunday instead the solemnity of our patron saint, St. Wenceslaus. When I received the call from Bishop Kagan in March of 2020, and he told me he was assigning me as pastor to St. Wenceslaus, one of the first thoughts that went through my mind, it didn't come out my mouth, but it went through my mind. It was like, St. Wences who? Because, you know, there's tons of churches that are named after Joseph and Mary and even Patrick and stuff. But Wenceslaus, that's like those weird Bohemians. They're the only ones who know about a saint like that. But as I've come here, as I was preparing to come here, I learned about this saint, and he is a tremendous saint and patron saint to have. The four scenes that Monsignor Schumacher did during the renovation capture well four key moments in Wenceslaus's life. But there's a thread that's drawn through all of them that is so powerful. St. Wenceslaus, he was born into struggle. He was born into a royal family, but he was born into a land that was in a massive struggle, in a fight. And he was born into a family that had that same struggle going on, and it was the struggle between the paganism that had been in that land for centuries, the Slavic pagan tribes, and the Christian faith that missionaries had just recently brought into that land. And there was, when he was born into it, there was this massive struggle that was going on in the land. And we sometimes lose sight. We definitely underestimate the impact, directly and indirectly, of Christianity on our society. Things that we just take for granted, that came from the Christian faith. Pagan societies and pagan tribal societies, they were brutal and they were dark. They worshiped, these pagan gods. They weren't real gods, no, but they were real spiritual forces and dark and malevolent ones. And as all religions, they required sacrifice. Our religion is the sacrifice of God himself, and us receiving that, the sacrifice of ourselves. The pagan societies were based on the same thing, sacrifice. Your crops, your animals, even your children, to these gods. It was a dark and it was a brutal society. But he was born into a family in which his dad was a recent Christian convert. He converted to the Catholic faith. And he married a woman from a pagan tribe to try and consolidate power. And the Christian faith never took in her heart. Externally, sure. But nothing within her was Christian. Wenceslaus' dad died in battle. And so this power struggle then ensued within the family. But Wenceslaus' paternal grandmother, Ludmilla, knowing that he was the one who would soon assume power, she took him under her wing and she formed him in the light of the gospel. One of the images in the back shows her teaching the young Wenceslaus from Scripture, teaching him that the way of man is different than the ways of God. Teaching this young boy of God who became one of us and associated with the low and the poor, that he was rich and he became poor to raise us up to him. She taught him and she formed, understand, his mind to see the human person differently and to see God and the ways of God differently too. That victory looks different for the Christian, and that the victory of God's kingdom looks different because it looks like the cross, and that that's where true power resided. And so it was his grandmother who formed him in these powerful and important ways in the light of the gospel, which the light of the gospel is this light that comes from the kingdom of God. And that this is what formed and shaped him. And Wenceslas' mother had a deep and bitter resentment to the grandmother, her mother-in-law, Ludmilla. And when she had the opportunity, she had her killed. Wenceslas, when he assumed power, one of the very first things he did with great controversy is he forgave his mother for killing his grandmother. He had her banished from the royal court and in internal exile within the kingdom. But he forgave her when all were expecting that he would have her executed almost right away. Wenceslas was intent on forming and shaping Bohemia to be a Christian kingdom. But how was he going to do that? He did it and approached it first in showing the example of what Christian faith looks like in the forgiveness of his mother. He was a man as well who shaped this kingdom on charity itself, which is self-giving love. St. Augustine wrote the greatest political book ever in the City of God, and he speaks of two kingdoms. One is the city of man, which is built on libido dominandi, the lust for domination, the lust for power. And that this is how the kingdoms of man seek to grow and hold their power. But the kingdom of God, and a Christian kingdom, is built on something different and something that destroys the libido dominandi. And it's built on Christian charity, caritas, which is the self-giving love of God. And so within his kingdom, Wenceslas went about forming and shaping it in a certain way. And one of the key things that he did is he formed the structures in his kingdom so that it would be just to both rich and to poor alike, that they would both receive just judgment, that there wouldn't be favor if you had influence or wealth. And he also formed it in such a way that the poor, widows and orphans and the sick would be those who this society took care of, and they put a priority upon them. And he didn't just shape the kingdom in this way, but he himself personally went out and did these acts of charity. This is where we see the other scene in the back of him on the dark, cold winter's night bringing the firewood and the supplies down to the poor so that they could have heat for their homes and fuel to make their meals. And where he was called, even in his own lifetime, good King Wenceslas. He had a kingdom that was shaped and formed based on charity. And he also formed and he built hospitals in Bohemia. I mentioned before about how hospitals, they only exist because of the Christian Catholic faith. They only exist because of that. In the ancient world, and indeed in Bohemia, there was the knowledge of the medical technology of the age, of if someone was injured or someone was sick, what you could do. But these medical Medici, the practitioners of medicine, they worked for those who would hire them out. those who had a lot of money could afford the care of medicine. The governments had them come along in the battles to treat the wounded soldiers. Never before had there been this notion of a hospital where anyone can come and receive healing medical care. But what was missing was not the knowledge of how to do this. It was the ingredient, and it was the stimulus of Christian charity. And so Wenceslaus established hospitals throughout his kingdom where the body could be healed of the sick and the poor and all within his kingdom. And he also built and began building some of the great, beautiful churches in the kingdom of Bohemia. Why? Because he knew that it's not just the body that must be cared for, but the soul as well. And that many of the people, how much did they have in their lives? Most people in the kingdom. You didn't have much. Hardly anybody did. But yet you could come to this place, the church, which was yours, and though you were poor in your own private life, you could come and you could share in the richness of the church. And you could step into it, and truly your soul could be lifted up from the miseries of this life into the beauty of God and the promise of God in his kingdom. And so he built, and those of you who have been over there, you've seen some of those beautiful churches that were built in Christendom. Wenceslaus is the one who had so many of those commissioned and built. He cared for the bodies and the souls of the people entrusted to him. And he was a leader and a ruler who sought true peace. He sought true peace for his people and for his land. And he did this even if it meant putting himself in the line of fire. One of the other images in the back depicts this. One of the German chieftains who was coming to invade Bohemia, what did Wenceslaus do? He takes the army out there, but the two heads come and meet on the battlefield beforehand, and they agree to Wenceslaus' proposal that instead of the thousands of lives being lost and blood being spilt on both sides, that they themselves would duel, and whoever would win the battle, so that only one life would be lost. Agreed upon, the German chieftain comes out, he gets off his horse and he kneels down, seeing behind Wenceslaus this heavenly light and this angel of protection, and he tells him, I can fight you, but I cannot fight the God who fights for you. And no blood was spilt that day. He was a leader who didn't just speak of peace for his people, but he acted on it, even if it meant costing something of himself. Wenceslaus, though, was not an only child. He had a younger brother. And like most younger brothers, this one was a pain in the butt. His brother, Boleslaw, had natural envy for Wenceslaus because he wasn't the eldest, so he wasn't in line to assume the crown. But also something more was at play there. He saw what Wenceslaus was doing and the resources that he was pouring into these things within the kingdom. And the forgiveness that he had given, he and his mom didn't have a good relationship either, as being signs of great weakness. And so he sees this, and he sees that I could be doing so much more for this land. And so he hatches a plot to have his brother killed. And so he invites him to a great celebration the next morning when Wenceslaus is heading to church. He's attacked. And Boleslaw went so he could give the death blow. And right before he died, Wenceslas, what he did is he forgave his brother. Like Jesus from the cross, you do not know what you're doing, but he granted him forgiveness and asked that God would forgive him as well. And this shook Boleslav. It shook him. He assumed power after this. But soon after this, he had repented for the killing of his brother. And instead of dismantling the things that he had set in place in the kingdom, he advanced them. He was not as good of a king, but he advanced them. And he allowed what St. Wenceslas had planted to take deep root in the Bohemian soil and in the Bohemian people. And it was through the blood of his charity and his very life that from those roots, the fruits of the faith were able to grow in this land, in the land of Bohemia. And generations later, with that faith and the light of the gospel alive in those people, they came here to this land in western North Dakota, and they established a church up in New Radic and here in Dickinson, dedicating this one to their great patron saint. The faith of our fathers and the faith of their great father that they brought to this place. On this great feast day, we're able to turn to our patron saint, who is a truly great king and a truly great saint, and we're able to ask for his intercession, that the gospel and the light of the gospel and the true power of the gospel, that that might take deeper root in our hearts and that it might produce great fruit within us, but within generations to come as well. St. Wenceslas, our good king, pray for us.